Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in, for listening to the show each and every week. We're on 5 radio stations in 3 different states. We love our radio stations and the listening audience. Our original 2 in the Inland Empire, San Bernardino, Riverside, California, in Southern California. Really love that. Up in Cay Tahoe, the great people up there. We have a number of different loan officers, real estate agents up in that area that can help if you need help. Also down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that's the newest affiliate, as well as Las Vegas, Nevada. All of these places, they're diverse, but they have one thing in common. There's no housing, and housing prices have gone through the moon. There is some changes in that, and we'll get to that sooner than later. Also, we are on 10 different podcasts or more. I think we have a list of most of them there. Daryl, do you have that list for us?
I was just pulling that up, Jeff. Give me about 30 seconds.
No problem at all. Also, we are on YouTube. If you go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, you can see this show each and every week. We have hundreds of shows there. There's a brand new website called themortgagevoice.com, which houses both this as well as all the segments separately, so that if you're looking for something specifically that you want to see in a show, go to themortgagevoice.com. You'll be able to see that either by reference to the guest or reference to the date and time of the show, so that you can pick and choose what you want to hear, when you want to hear it, and the advertising for what we're trying to do in each and every show will be there, as well as these other terrific podcasts. You got that list?
I sure do.
Awesome.
Jeff. It's Apple Podcast, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and Podclips.io.
Podclips.io is another new place where you can see the show, as well as a lot of different they're trying to put together some top podcasts around the country, whether it's in finance or whether it's in lifestyle, whether it's in health or a number of other areas. Go there. It's a great place to get acquainted with some of the newer people that you may not have heard about or seen. Certainly in the podcast world, it is confusing. And you go out there and you try to search for something, it is difficult. But in that particular site, you can go there and get any number of those topics with 3-4 different podcasters. It's a great, great site to go to. Okay, what is happening in the real estate market? What is happening in the mortgage market? And how can we benefit you? Today, I can say honestly that we have had some pretty good news. Job reports are good, not great, right? So what does that mean? That means that the Fed is not going to step in and stop and start repurchasing or selling off, rather, of the mortgage-backed securities or the bonds that they've been buying to the tune of about $120 billion a month, 80 and 40, I think is what it is, mortgage-backed securities at $40 billion and treasuries at $80 billion. So the employment report, i.e. Jobs report out, was good for May. Not spectacular, but good. It'll be revised. They always revise them, and I believe they'll revise it up. We're looking for million two jobs to be created on a monthly basis in order to get us back to pre-pandemic jobs in the U.S. So we probably have 54 million people working before the pandemic, and we have about 8 million less now. So as it's 146, it's something like that, about 8 million people, although the unemployment rate went down. Now, you may have heard out there, as I have heard and read about, that it is a tighter labor market than the statistics necessarily show. That means that in certain jobs, in certain fields, there aren't enough qualified candidates to fill the job openings. And this leads me into, there was a world population, there are a number of these websites, right? You can go to the Cato Institute, which is more libertarian. You can go to the Hoover Institute, which is more conservative. You can go to the Brookings Institute, which is more liberal. They all talk about population and what is the long-term trend of population, not only here in the United States, but in Western world, in the Eastern world, China, India specifically, the two largest countries in the world. And what is happening long-term with population? Well, there's a number of warning signals, and not to what you might think. The population growth has really, really stalled, meaning that we will see a negative population growth in Western Europe and the United States probably in the next 10 years, i.e., there's more people dying than being born. And that's a problem for a lot of countries in the world, especially when we have this, in this day and age, this aversion to having immigration, i.e., not in my country, whatever that means. It's not a NIMBA, not in my backyard, but this is more than like not in my back country, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So it's a problem. It's a problem so much that in China, which for, I don't know, a couple generations, 50 years anyway, they've had a one-child rule, right? They would not allow you to have more than one child, and there's all kinds of atrocities associated with that. That's not what the point of my talk is about China. They've just gone to a three-child rule. Now, what does this tell you about the most populous countries in the world if they're now saying, okay, we're having difficulties sustaining the population that we currently have, and we see the negative population growth happening. And so, therefore, we're going to allow our citizens to have three kids, not one. But the upside to that, and this is not new news, this has happened already, is that most of the people who are younger don't want more than one child. The reason most cited is it's too expensive. And I would say that if you link that to what's happening in the U.S. right now with housing, we don't have enough of it, it's too expensive, and anybody who's making less than $150,000 a year can't afford it. You can't afford to purchase at the purchase price, and you, even though the interest rates are low, you still can't afford it. So what does this say about Western world, Eastern world, the world in general, if we're having negative population growth and prices are too high? It says that there's an issue short term in that we don't have enough people filling jobs that we have job openings for. And I'm not talking just about waiters and waitresses. Of course, they're called servers nowadays. I understand that. And we're not just talking about low-level, entry-level jobs. And by the way, there are several states, more than several, I think more like 17 states, that have ended the federal addition of $300 a week to unemployment. They've ended that because they can't get people back to work, even at $15. I heard on the radio yesterday a restaurant owner who basically has got his whole family in there working because he cannot hire people, even at $15 an hour, to come in and do the work. Because they're making more money, according to this person. I don't know if this is true, and it's anecdotal, but it's a great talking point on all the major talk shows, and everybody talks about it. The problem really is we do not have the population that we need in order to do the jobs that we need done. So all the major chains are going to as much automation as possible and trying to fulfill those needs of that particular sector of the economy. So as this translates to you, your person, you're working, let's say your combined income, got a couple kids, is between $60,000 and $100,000. You have to rent, especially in a market that we're either talking about Albuquerque, Los Angeles, Tahoe, Las Vegas, Nevada. You have to rent. And as everyone knows, the moratorium on not paying your rent ends at the end of June. So you may find yourself, along with 2.5 million other people who are in forbearance for loans, looking for housing. And how's that going to affect when you're working full-time, and you can't afford to even get into a mortgage or get into rentals? It's a problem. It's a problem for you. It's a problem for the person who owns the buildings. And how are we going to solve this problem? Well, the answer to the U.S. is unlike other places. I guess Germany could be a place. I guess there are some other places in the Far East, in the East, in Central and South America. If you've got a place people want to come to and your population is bottoming out in terms of growth, maybe changing the immigration policy to allow more immigrants. Now, this will change the dynamic of the demographic who currently lives here, but it will fulfill the necessary person power that we need to work jobs that we currently can't get filled. What do you think about that? Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Appreciate you listening to the show, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. Thank you very much for giving us your feedback. We express a lot of opinions, and we certainly give a lot of facts. We bring onto the show many different companies that talk about what they do and how they do it. We try not to give a rah-rah speech about what the company that sponsors this show is, but they are a good company, Malibu Funding, Inc. at malibufunding.net. If you wanted to see their website, they have about, 40 or 50 different loan officers. They're in 13 different states, and they can help you get a mortgage. There is a lot of movement in some of the back alley, back stuff that's happening in the mortgage industry, whether it be Fannie or Freddie or whether it'll be on the purchase. There is some changes coming about in terms of qualifying for a mortgage. But I wanted to get back to more companies coming on talking about what they do and how they do it better than other companies. The reason is that if you're out there and you're a consumer right now and you're just not quite sure, you're going to like this show if you need a mortgage. If you're looking for something to buy and you're just starting out, this is a how-to as well as a product presentation type of show. So in that vein, we bring to the show, once again, Alma Carrera from she's from Accelerate Capital. She's been on the show many times before, and she joins us once again. Alma, thanks very much.
Hi, thank you for having me, Jeff. I'm really happy to be here with you today.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. How are you? How's business, and where do you see it heading?
Well, as you know, the last time we touched bases, I'm with the company Accelerate Capital. We all kind of pivoted, but the market changed a little bit here, and we're actually exceptional in our non-QM products. We are doing a lot of the non-QM, basically for the self-employed borrowers out there.
Okay.
So a lot of the self-employed borrowers took a hit with COVID. As you know, their businesses might have taken a step back or had a little bit of decline in income or impacted overall. So with Accelerate Capital in our non-QM, we're able to help the self-employed borrowers obtain a loan by qualifying in a different matter. So it's not your traditional matter. Now we're doing more bank statements, P&L. We're doing, VOE, written VOE, so we don't have to look at all of the expenses they're written off. So we have many, many ways that we can qualify a borrower, either self-employed or W-2, to help them in this time of need.
Okay,
I'm
sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to get to specifically one of these programs. Whether it's okay. Bank statement or the P&L or the self-employed, pick a program and let's go through it. Let's see how someone would qualify, what they need to do in order to either bring more money in or how do these programs work? Let's pick that bank statement program.
Okay, so for us, it's not just a basic bank statement. It's an analysis. I work directly, and obviously, I've been with the industry over 20 years.
Right.
So it's not just my knowledge that comes in to help, but also the mortgage officer that's helping the borrowers getting to know, putting it together in a way that's going to make sense. So a lot of times they might come in and say, hey, I have a self-employed borrower here at the bank statement. But after analyzing it, we might qualify it under a 24-month bank statement to see the whole of the income that's coming in directly. So we don't have to look at tax returns or anything like that. We just go look at the bank statement. But more a layer above that, maybe we can just qualify that particular borrower with the last 2 months bank statement in a P&L by a CPA. And then you're done. You qualify with the best pricing possible as well in the higher LTVs. Especially in the need of the market right now when, purchase prices are rising and going above asking price. We need all of the room. And
right.
We need to make sense underwriting, which I can bring to the table. And we have an exceptional, operations manager that helps me as well.
Okay. Good points. Two of them. The bank statements, 24 months of bank statements, or you said 2 months of bank statements plus a P&L from the accountant. Now, that P&L from the accountant, is it signed by the accountant? Do you need what do you need from the accountant? Because I know a lot of people heard that and said, oh, really? How do you do that? Explain that a little bit more for us.
Right. So in essence, the last, for that particular scenario, like if we just do a straight 24 months, I don't need anything from the CPA. But
okay,
if we're going to do the last 2 months bank statements, the last 2 months bank statements are representing what your current business is driving today, correct?
Yes.
So those are the balances showing on those 2 months bank statements. But now we need to look at a history of what that business has been doing. So by obtaining a 24-month P&L from the CPA, it just has to be signed by a CPA. It's letting us know what that history income has been for that particular business. We still require a two-year history, as you know, based on a guideline to show back that they've been doing business as that company entity and that they're making money.
Okay. Now, there's risk for you as a company with these types of loans versus your traditional, you know, 30-year Fannie Mae product, right? So usually with risk
Correct.
Comes cost. What is the difference between, like, let's say, a conventional type loan and this type of product in terms of cost? Is it an extra point? Is it an extra half a point? Or is it individualized person by person?
It's individualized by person, scenario, and cycle. And then, of course, depending how much of a down payment a consumer is going to have.
Okay.
But, you know, our rates. Our lowest rate starts at 3 1/8, just to give you an indication.
That's low.
So up to $1 million. So it all really depends on that credit versus what your down payment, and then what you have. If we're going to, you know, there's pricing adjustments for full doc, somebody that doesn't, you know, quite qualify under agency or high balance could fall into this program as well. A direct just written VOE program. We have the I-10 program. We have a foreign national program.
Okay.
So we have different programs depending on the layers of what that individual might have.
Okay, so when you're talking pricing, you're obviously meaning it's going to cost more if, like, say, you have a 620 FICO score versus a 750 FICO score, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we do have a two-tier rate sheet,
okay,
depending on the higher FICO versus somebody who might have a credit exception on it, or an event, if you will.
Okay.
If something happened, you know, that triggered maybe a mortgage late, as simple as that, or maybe a forbearance or a BK back in, you know, 2-3 years ago.
What if you have a person who went into forbearance, came out of forbearance? What is the rule on that when doing these types of loans?
Okay, so in some aspects, we still follow the traditional guidelines.
Okay.
So on forbearance, we're still requiring at least three, that you've already paid the 3 months current payment. You're up to date on the three for the last 3 months.
Okay.
And then you've paid back what the amount that you owed was. What for? So whatever's on the mortgage statement, it needs to be already paid off. So that is some guidelines still follow, and we do follow that guideline.
I see. So it's very similar to the Fannie Freddie type loans, whereby this COVID forbearance program that was put in to obviously keep people in their homes. You view this the same way that, you know, Bank of America would view their loans, i.e., you got to be out 3 months, you got to have repaid everything, and you have to be current. And
correct.
Okay, very good. Correct. Now, in a scenario like that, how have you seen it affect credit scores when somebody has been in forbearance? Is it affecting?
I don't see it affecting credit scores because that lender in particular, you know, they're doing a forbearance, for instance, but it's not affecting their credit, so it doesn't hit their credit report. So I'm not seeing that being impacted at all, really. From what my experience.
Do you,
at the end of the day, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead. But at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, you know, the way I like to look at it, each individual person is different. They're different in how they do their banking, for instance.
Sure.
And that's the kind of like the puzzle that I like to put together based on each individual borrower to help them, you know, qualify, pre-qualify. I have a few deals that I'm working with loan officers right now, and I can help them put the deal together the best way possible.
No, that's good. And also, that's kind of old-fashioned loaning, right? I mean, it's not the automated underwriting systems that we see so many of, especially in the larger companies, that they're trying to streamline everything to cut costs, obviously to improve margins. But in a scenario whereby you're dealing with bank statements or more of a non-QM, it's much more personal. They're much more hands-on in terms of how they underwrite the file. Am I correct in assuming all that?
Yes, Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. And what I'm enjoying working with your loan officers who are seasoned, who know about how to put deals together and how to call me and collaborate together.
Yeah.
And obviously offering the best service possible and representing that borrower who's going to be out there looking for, you know, for a home. So that's what's so important right now.
We're up against it. Shout out your phone number for people who want a terrific person in order to help them with their loans, if you would.
Yes, thank you so much.
Sure.
Accelerate Capital, again, Alma Carino. My direct number is 310-321-8259. And I'm here to help you in anything possible. So thank you so much for the opportunity, Jeff. Like always, I love working with you.
Thanks, Alma. Thanks very much. And I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
You too. That's Alma Carrero. She is from Accelerate Capital. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in and listening to the show. We bring to the show each and every week guests that try to help and educate, as well as present you some options that you're going to need if you want to buy a house, you want to do some refi, cash out. You just want to do a rate and term and lower your rate and be able to lower your monthly payment. There's all kinds of reasons that you need this information. And this is the type of show, I'm telling you, we've had people who've listened to the show when it first started about 7-8 years ago. And they got a loan and they were happy. Well, once you get this information and you do your loan, you don't need this information anymore unless you just like the entertainment talk. But well, they'll come back. They'll come back when they need more information the next time they need a loan, or they have a relative that needs a loan, a friend, somebody. So the reason that the show is relevant is because all we do is talk about what's happening today. I'll give you reasons. I'll tell you on the macro level, on the big picture level, what's going on in the world, what's going on in society. But reality is, how does it affect your ability to get a loan, and what are the products out there that you can qualify for right now? And we do that by bringing on account executives, people from different lenders, to talk about what they do. Because, you know, as good as Malibu Funding is, there are many solutions out there with many different types of people who can help. And like I say, I've never thought that I was the only one that had the answers. And bringing people on who do have more experience, more knowledge, and certainly different types of programs only helps you as the consumer. And we're going to do that right now. Thomas Trujillo at Majestic Home Loans, been on the program several times before. Now he's at Majestic. Tomas, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you doing today?
Me? I'm great, man. It looks like Southern California is finally about ready to open up big, let people go where they want and do what they want, and that is a huge relief to many, many people. How are you doing with it, and how's it affecting your business?
Actually, it's a great thing because we're able to get back out in the field again.
Yep.
I'm the kind of rep, I'd love to get out, meet people, talk to people, go through loans with them, put it together, problem solve. I'd love to be right there with them, have the loan open, and just tear it apart. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I agree with you. And in talking to many of my loan representatives, now obviously we have Fannie Freddie loan people who just compete mainly at that level, whether it's the Quickens or the UWMs in the world. And then we have other lenders which cater to a different crowd, same kind of crowd in terms of need, but they just have different qualifications. And I believe manual underwriting, talking to the client, being able to put a file together, all of these things which don't happen at the larger firms, because they're basically a cookie cutter shop, really happens at firms like Majestic, rather. And could you tell us a little bit about some of the products that you're offering now? That'd be great.
Well, we're really opening up on our product scale. We have the Chinoa Down Payment Assistance Program, where we will give you 3 or 5% of the loan amount to help you qualify, come in with no money down.
Yep.
That's one of the newer things we had. We also have some really interesting non-QM programs. We have a 3-month bank statement program.
Okay.
3 months only. Hmm. I can also take 12 months or 24, but the 3 months is a nice sweet spot for a lot of people.
Is that with a P&L from your accountant, or is that standalone?
That's standalone, just three-month bank statements.
And that's business bank statements or personal?
Either or.
Okay.
You have to be self-employed. But, business or personal or DBA, it's all good.
And is that on a purchase or refi All product lines?
Refi, cash out, second home. We're open to all of it.
Okay, let's drill down a little bit on a purchase. What would you need? 3-month bank statements in addition to the 3-month bank statements. What are you looking for? FICO? What are you looking for? Down payment in order to make this thing work?
For a 3-month bank statement loan, we're going to go a minimum of a 660 FICO up to a max of 80 loan to value.
Okay. So you're looking at 20% down on a situation like that, a 3-month bank statement program. Wow, that's pretty. And what is the loan amount? What do you go up to?
On something like that, I mean, we'll go up to about $3 million.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great program. I love that program. I have that. I also have an FHA VOE only program, which is pretty great.
Okay, so verification of employment, right? Is that what you're talking about with the VOE?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
so sir. And how do you verify that? You with a piece of paper to the HR person and a phone call? Is that how you do it?
Yeah. Basically, we'll ask a third party.
A
non-involved third party, probably the credit company, to go ahead and verify it. So the credit company will call your employer and say, "Hey, does Mr. Jones work here?" "Yes, he does." "And how long has he been there?" "Well, he's been there for about 5 years." "Oh, great. Does he make this much money?" "He does." "Okay, great. Thank you very much. I'll get the loan done." And
wow.
That's pretty much it.
Wow, that's great. Okay, so on a purchase, where's your client base? Obviously, the account executives that bring you the loan are wrangling in those particular borrowers. But what do you see as, the trend in the marketplace to those types of borrowers who need this type of program? Is it increasing? Is it decreasing? What do you see?
I believe it's increasing. I think people, after the last year, especially with the last year where people were out of work, people were being laid off, people were working maybe 3 days a week, and it got really rough for a lot of people. So when you ask them for their taxes, they're obviously not going to show much income for 2020.
Right.
It'll be declining income.
Right.
Which is going to really hurt you. So on this product, I'm not asking you for anything. I'm just asking you for a verification of employment, showing that you're still working full time. And that's going to help a lot of people. This product is in high demand right now.
Now, it's an FHA product, so obviously there's some mortgage insurance involved in that. And FICO scores aren't necessarily an important part of this program, I assume, because it's FHA.
Correct. I mean, we can't go to a non-prime FICO, which is like a 580.
Okay.
So we got to be at least a 640 for that program.
Okay, that's good enough. Also, you mentioned Chenoa. Explain a little bit about that. It's an interesting program. There's an approval process for the broker with Chenoa as well as Majestic, obviously, to get the loan done. But tell us a little bit more about that. I like the program, and, let us know what that is.
Well, I think it's a great program. I mean,
right.
You qualify for it. It's a 640 minimum FICO. Your DTI, debt income ratio, can go up to 50%. We'll also do manufactured housing on that. We'll do a single unit on that. And it's all FHA guidelines. So your first is going to be at a 96.5% loan-to-value.
Right.
And if you're conventional with a regular 30-year fix, I mean, you'll have a rate at about 3.25, which, you know, granted, is not the lowest rate in the market right now, but you're getting free money. So it's kind of like, well, it's not a bad deal.
Right. Okay. So this is, like you say, it's an FHA product that makes up the difference of that 3.5%. Does it do the whole 3.5 or just 3%?
It'll do the whole 3.5%.
So basically, this is 100% loan, is what you're saying.
It's 100% loan.
Right.
Or we can give you 103% loan.
Oh, I see.
Which will give you a 5% back end, 5% second.
Oh, I see.
Which helps you cover for closing costs. So it's not too bad.
No, it's excellent. And you're saying that the FICO is 660.
$640 for just to do the loan.
And what do you go up to?
$660 for a manufactured home.
I see. And the loan limit is?
On that FHA guide, so $822,375.
Okay, and that would be in, you know, depending on which county you're on, the FHA conforming is different in each county. That, what is that, L.A. County?
That's L.A. County, yes.
Okay,
but,
fine.
I mean, we'll do it everywhere. We used to have another down payment assistance, but it was only California. This one, we'll do wherever we're licensed, we'll do it.
Okay, so
Florida, wherever.
The show reaches New Mexico, Las Vegas, Nevada, and certainly all parts of California as well. So and just out of curiosity, you reach all those areas too?
Yes, sir.
Okay, excellent. So if you're out there and you're listening and you're saying, wow, I can get 100% loan based on the Chenoweth program, this is the man to call. And you know what? Shout out your phone number, Tomas, and let people know how to get in touch with you.
I'd love to. My name is Tomas Trujillo. My number is 323-228-5181.
Okay, it's Tomas Trujillo from Majestic Home Loans, right? It's still Majestic Home Loans, 323-228-5181, talking about a lot of different and great programs that you could get into if you just give them a call or give us a call over here at Malibu. Either one is good with me. Tomas, thanks for coming on the show. Once again, elucidating, illuminating. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
Okay, very good. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. Listening each and every week, really appreciate it. We've been doing this for a long time now, and each and every week I have these great ideas that I'm going to come to the show with. And then the red light goes on, and I kind of fall back into a lot of things that we've done in the past, just because I guess vocally you get into a pattern, and obviously the format of the show and how things are known from people who listen each and every week, and there are those that do so, and I do appreciate it very much. But one of the things that I was thinking about coming to the show this week was how, in a very short time, 1 year, the country, the mood, the market, obviously, in the real estate world has changed. And now we say this all the time, and I began to think of seminal moments within, you know, the last, I don't know, 20 years, whether it's 9/11 or whether it's, I don't know, there's so many different ones, I guess, but 9/11 came to mind, whereby we had to change how we traveled. I mean, that was just the end of the way we used to travel to the way we now travel. And because of that change and because of that, you know, attack, the entire world is different. So COVID happens this year. Let's just move forward to right now. The pandemic, whether you're for it or against it, believe it or not believe it, but the way we do things has changed and has changed and will remain that way, whether it's your employment, whether it's where you live, whether it's how you move around, whether it's by car, train, or plane. And deciding personally, how to handle that particular thing also has changed. Whether the dynamic in your family, whether visiting with friends, you know, you're thinking about it more than you used to think about it. One of the things that's happened in the real estate world is that by focusing, hyper-focusing, or whatever you want to call it, on purchases in the real estate world, we have run up against a lack of housing inventory. And that lack of housing inventory, which has, and I've talked about it on previous shows, has come about since 2008 crash, the mortgage meltdown. Whatever that was to you, that particular point changed, obviously, with Dodd-Frank and NMLS and a lot of things about licensing and oversight. That changed how lending happened. This particular moment now has changed the way the inventory in the marketplace has dried up, because when nobody could move around and do anything, they focused on two things in the real estate and mortgage world. Savings, which 33% savings rate during COVID of that, whether you say it's 10 months or a year and a quarter, that time period, $1.5 trillion was saved in accounts across America that wasn't there previous to COVID. That's a big number, right? I mean, we just did a bailout, not a bailout, whatever they're calling that stimulus package that the new administration just had passed. That's $1.9 trillion. Now, those are astounding numbers that we've never even heard of before. But this change to the savings rate, and the other part of it is focusing on real estate purchases. The millennials showed up in droves during the pandemic to buy a house. the numbers bear it out. You have costs of homes more today on an average basis than we've ever seen before. So, as a result of that, you're out there, you're a couple, you're a single person, you're a family. You're trying to buy a house. You see that the interest rates are historic lows and have been since the pandemic started. The other change. You got no housing to look at. There is nothing that you want to buy. So now what do? You can't go out and spend money because you can't get out of your house. This all took place during the last year. So as a result, median home price shot above $350,000. Never happened before. The inventory, lowest levels ever across the U.S. I mean, to places where you just can't even believe it. You might have resales this year down 20-25% just because there's not any housing left to be able to afford and buy. Now we're coming to a different seminal moment, right? COVID is ending. Now, whether people politically believe it, whether it's fashionable to say, you can feel it. I'll drive around on any freeway in Southern California where I live, and I'll tell you right now, it's back to the pre-COVID days where I'm backed up miles to get off on an exit. Everything is slowed down because, I mean, you used to be able to cruise around for 80 miles an hour any place in the city. Not anymore. Driving here to the radio station today, I had to leave an extra 30 minutes early because the traffic was back. This tells you something. People, the COVID stay at home is ending. California, June 15th, they're going to drop the mask requirements. It's dropped in probably 50% of the states across the country already. What is this going to do to the $1.5 trillion that has been saved? What is this going to do to the housing inventory? Is it going to push demand up, i.e. more people are out, therefore they're more interested in buying houses, or is it going to do the opposite? Well, there is an article, by Housing Wire. Let me look at this thing just before I screw it up and then say the wrong thing. Okay, here it is. It's Redfin News, Housing Market Update. Is relief from the red-hot market on its way? Okay, that's what they're talking about. 3% decline since 2019 in which there are pending sales. What does that tell you? It tells you either there's less housing so you can't afford it, or there's less people to buy. I think it's both. The housing inventory being what it was in 2019, there's less of it today. But you're also seeing, because the economy is opening up, less people are worried about where they're going to live. They're more worried about where they're going to go have a good time this summer. They missed last summer. And whether you have children, whether you're by yourself, or whether there's two of you or three of you, whatever it is. You want to get out. You want to have fun. You want to go to a restaurant. You want to go to a movie. My own particular family, we're buying outdoor concert tickets. I'm sure you're thinking about the same thing. So this is lessening the demand on housing, i.e. they're predicting that the housing inventory will uptick. Now, what's the difference between now and 2 months ago? 20%. If 100% of the market was on fire 2 months ago, 80% of the market is on fire now. This is not my calculation. This is Tim Ellis's for Redfin News. That's his analysis, and I agree with him. It's a sign that consumers might rather spend their time and money on other things besides housing. Travel's opening, dining, entertainment, resuming, all in full force, right? So all of these things being what they are, is there an opportunity for you to get out there and buy something? Let's talk rates here for a second, just because we haven't really hit upon rates today. And rates are an important part of the house buying process. If I can find the darn thing. Here it is. Okay. So 30-year fixed rate, 3.13. 15 at 2.54. These are percentages. FHA at 2.65. Jumbo at 3.12. The 5-1 ARM is at 2.25. And the 10-year yield is about a point and a half, right where it's been, right in the slot where it's been for about a month and a half. And it's at the upper level of that trading range where we saw from half a point up to a point and a half that we talked about as being in the trading range of the 10-year yield. The 10-year yield is what dictates what goes on in the rates. The rates dictate how much you have to pay to buy that house. And if we've got 80% hot rather than 100% hot, there is more housing available. So it's cautiously optimistic from my standpoint that you can get out there and find something if you look and are selective. Obviously, certain markets that are incredibly hot, obviously stay away from it because you don't want to be spending $100,000 more than the house is being asked to purchase by, because that's just crazy. Although there are some statistics out there that says that that particular number of $100,000 over asking is not unusual. It's not the norm, but it's not unusual either. Okay, let's just run through a couple of things. How to avoid overspending on a house. That's what we just talked about. The emergency fund. Okay, this is what you need when you buy a house. Anticipate hidden costs. Another thing you have to know when you buy a house. Only look at homes in below or at your budget. Most people look at 125% of what they can afford, thinking that they can bargain down. You can't, but you don't want to fall in love with that house either. Okay, that's quickly what I have for everything. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back. Appreciate it.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show each and every week. We're on a number of different radio stations across the West and Southwest. We're from Albuquerque up to Las Vegas, Nevada, Central California in the Tahoe area, down to Southern California in San Bernardino and Riverside counties. I want to say hey to all my listeners, and thanks very much for tuning in each and every week. We're on 10 different podcasts at least. Daryl, you want to give us a highlight on that, please?
I sure will. It's Apple Podcasts, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and PodClips.io.
Okay, go to PodClips.io. You'll find it an interesting place to see a lot of different podcasts based on different topics, whether it's lifestyle, health, whether it's sports or certainly in my sector, finance. You can find some pretty good opinions of experts and people in the field. We're certainly on there as The Mortgage Voice. We're also on YouTube. YouTube, we have hundreds of shows on YouTube. We're also the new website that we have for The Mortgage Voice called The Mortgage Voice. If you go there, mortgagevoice.com, you can see this as well as other shows. We're dividing it up into several different types of ways by which you can find each segment that we talk about. If you heard something on the show today and you go, what was that person's name? You can go to the website and it's broken down into different segments. We're continually trying to update and upgrade what we're doing. We're adding some marketing, i.e. Articles to all the things we're doing to try to get more people to us to see what the solutions are to the mortgage problems that you're going to have. Let's get right to some news. I went through a little bit of it earlier, but I want to get back to it now. A couple of the other sites on YouTube, if you wanted to go, there's a guy named Kyle Seagraves. He's great. He talks about win the house you love. That's one of the topics. It, just interesting. If you go to YouTube and look up mortgage or look up how to buy a house or things like that, you'll see a lot of videos, but you will only see five or six people who do them all the time, and they do them well. We will be soon listed in that category as well. But to get something like as dry and dull as this into a format that's interesting and watchable, I noticed these three people, and I really liked this person called Nicole Mark. Real Estate with Nicole. I thought she did a great job, and this is all on YouTube. And The Uneducated Economist. I love that guy. It's kind of like something atheist. It's people who have reverence irreverently, if you know what I mean. They know what they're talking about, but they talk about it in such a way by which to give you the wink and the nod that if you listen and know what they're talking about, you can actually enjoy the show as well as the inside look at what's going on in the mortgage and real estate worlds. It's not rocket science, but there are intricacies to what we do that you have to know some nuances to in order to get the most value out of it. Certainly as an entertainment value, these three things I just mentioned are places to go. And, of course, go to themortgagevoice.com. We're on the YouTube. Our YouTube channel is – what is our YouTube channel? Is it the Mortgage – Jeff Hart and the Mortgage Voice?
It is the Mortgage Voice.
Yes. Okay, very good. So if you go to all these places, you can see us and these other people. Interesting, just came out. I saw on Yahoo – Let's see, where exactly? I can't give credit because I didn't print that page. I'm sorry. $1 trillion less in mortgage originations in 2021 than in 2020. In 2020, as I said earlier in the segment, hyper-focus on what's going on with you financially, whether you're going to buy a house or refi, because you had nothing else to do. There was $3.5 trillion in mortgage loan originations, 55-60% refinance and 45% in purchase. That number has changed. We're probably going to get $2 to $2.5 trillion. These are phenomenal numbers. I mean, pre-pandemic, $1.5 trillion in mortgage originations was standard. This is what you got, and this is when margins for what companies would make on a loan would be about 50 basis points, right? So if you had a $100,000 loan, 50 basis points is $500, right? That's what it is. So if you're dealing with houses, as I said earlier in the show, you had a median home price of $354,000, new record, ding, ding, ding. Now, you can extrapolate out 50 basis points in a normal market. Okay, that's what you make. But in this market, the spread on a typical loan was $3,500 per $100,000. So on a $300,000 loan, you're talking $10,000, $12,000 in what the lender would make, not to mention what the originator would make if the originator is, in fact, a company that is a mortgage broker. And there's plenty of mortgage brokers. So that $3.5 trillion origination number, you just think about the expansion in the mortgage margin that was being made by the mortgage companies. Yeah, and they had great years. But if we're going to lose $1.5 trillion, or $1 trillion rather, in loan originations this year, down to $2 to $2.5 trillion, still a great market, but not as great as it was. Meaning that if you're out there and you're clever and you shop around, as I've always said, you're going to find a more hungry loan officer who will give you a better deal. You have more leverage as a borrower now. Originations are less. They're going to have to work harder for the same kind of money or settle for less. Now, we're not in a settle-for-less type of business. Most people want to maximize how much they can make. And in a business that controls the spending and the, not the spending, but the amount of money that you can make, i.e. Dodd-Frank did that back in 2008, your loan originator needs to work with you and do as much as they can to satisfy the particular needs that you have, whether it's getting you money for closing costs, whether it's negotiating a lower rate, in order to be able to get you to afford that particular loan. These are all things that are in your favor because the mortgage originations are going to be down this year. Now, conversely, there's going to be some layoffs, probably towards the end of the year when we see the exact numbers come in for the third quarter. Every company likes to cut excess employees towards the end of the year. It's terrible, but that's what happens. Why? To make the books look a little bit better. Also, Facebook is the preferred social media platform for real estate agents. So if you're a real estate agent or you're looking as a buyer, Facebook is the place you're going to find it. Now, unfortunately, with all of these sites, if you go to a site, you see a house you like and you click on, I want to talk to the agent, you're going to get maximum hits onto all of your social media platforms, especially Facebook, from other agents looking to sell you something. It's the way it is. It's how Facebook sells their ads. It's how Facebook sells your particular information to people in order to be able to, you know. Have you ever gotten that phone call? Hey, I heard you're looking for a loan. And you go, I'm not looking for a loan. Well, the reason they did that is because you either just bought a new car or you bought a boat or you put some large purchase on your credit card. Those are called trigger leads. If, in fact, your credit has been triggered by somebody who's extending you credit for a car, a boat, or some kind of large purchase, you're going to get companies calling you up saying, hey, you know, you're getting a loan or you need a loan, we need to help you. That's why they do that. It's not a good thing, but it is the way the business works currently. So if you don't want that, do not have a Facebook account or try not to make those purchases on your personal card, i.e. if you have a business card or if you have other than your own personal, your spouse or whatever, that's the way to do it. Experts predict big economic growth, but also slowing home price growth. Talked about it earlier in the show. We are seeing probably 80% hot market. That's according to, you know, the whoever it is that I said. It was either on Housing Wire or I forget who the guy was. But regardless, that is what's happening. If we have an 80% hot market right now, we're going to see more inventory. We're going to see that continue as people spend more time in leisure activities, spending that $1.5 trillion in their savings accounts. They're going to be less focused on purchasing. So we're going to get more to a normal level of home appreciation, and that's what it's also talking about in this particular article. Homes in less expensive neighborhoods are seeing strong interest. Of course, I can't go to the most expensive house on the most expensive neighborhood. I'm going to get burned when the housing market turns, and we're all waiting for that to happen, right? Because we all want to buy the best house in the cheapest neighborhoods at the cheapest price. Well, that's not right now. Whether that is in a home or an area which is not as desirable. You're going to want to get a lower-priced house in a less desirable neighborhood and wait for the demographics to change that neighborhood to the desired neighborhood. And it happened all across the country for the last 10 years, whether it's San Francisco, San Diego, out in California, whether it's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or in Akron, Ohio, or down in Columbia, South Carolina. All of these places have experienced that type of growth because those neighborhoods that once weren't are. And so those people that bought at that time did a real good thing and bought in a great market. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for listening this week. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.